Well, good evening, everyone. And just for the recording, this is John McDonald on Father Heart TV webcast on Wednesday, the 20th of April. And I'm going to be speaking about Revelation history. You know, one of the things I've realised in this current experience of his love is that love is in no hurry. Love is not doesn't want to rush. It takes its time to work in our hearts. And so I want to encourage you, don't panic, don't worry if it's not all sorted out. There may still be pain, there may still be anger. But love takes us on a journey with it. It's not in a hurry the way we are. You know, we are so used to instant fixes. We think, get the man of God or the woman of God to pray for us, and it's all sorted. But that's not how it works. Love takes its time to work in our hearts, to create the person we were made to be. And he has been drawing us for years. He still is drawing each of us to his love, and he's been very patient in it. He's not been in any hurry. Father is patient and looking at the long term, not the immediate short-term fix. Now, for me, it's been a long time. As I look back over my life, I realise that when I was a little boy, I could hear him calling my name. I didn't know it was him. I could be in the street or in the house and someone would speak my name, but there was no one there. And I realised it was Father speaking to me. You know, when I first became a believer, He gave me this scripture. He said, "Do not call anyone on earth Father, for you have one Father and he is in heaven." And as a believer, I began to hear about the Father, about God wanting to be my Father. You know, I studied, I had theological training, friends told me about him, I had experiences of God in ways that were different from meeting Jesus. But I didn't really apprehend what it was. You know, I was a leader, I'd been to Bible school, I knew the scriptures, I knew what the scriptures said about the Trinity, and Father, Son, Spirit. But I think I was like those that Jesus spoke about in Matthew 11, when he said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children." You know, I thought of myself as wise and learned. I thought of myself as a mature, grown-up Christian. And I guess I felt above such simplicity when it came to speaking about Father and the need for his love. And I think many people look at this revelation with suspicion, as though it's something strange and new. It's some new weirdness that's come out of charismatic things, because it just seems too ridiculous. They're too mature for such nonsense, such childishness. You know, for people who were not so sure of Toronto and what was happening there, they just look at this as a doctrinal error. But this revelation is anything but new. Oops. And we see this revelation of Father and his love for us. Many of us understand that the legacy of that has come to us through a man called Jack Winter. I know many of you know about Jack, but many of you don't know about him. And he's been a huge influence upon our lives. He's been a huge influence upon Barry and Mark and myself. And Jack was a man who was very passionate about the restoration of people's lives. And then in the mid-70s, early to mid-70s, Jack began to experience the love of the Father for himself. In fact, it happened in Orama, I think, that little island where the Father Heart Ministries INS school takes place. And as he began to share this revelation of Father with people, he began to saw some measure of healing in their lives. But time and again, he felt that Father was saying to him, they need more. And so he began to seek the Lord for some understanding of what could be done. What did he mean that they needed more? And so he saw in the story of the lost sons in Luke 15 that when the father embraced his, his returning son, something happened. He understood that some chemistry, something clicked in place in the son's heart. And so he began to pray for people by embracing them. He would put his arms around them. He would ask them a question, actually. He would say to them, "Can you be a little boy or can you be a little girl who just needs to be loved?" And when they said yes, he would just put his arms around them. They would put their arms around his neck and he would just pray a simple prayer. He would say, "Father, I just pray these arms of mine would become your arms around this one, that they might know the love of a father unlike any love they've ever known." And he would pray some more for them. But he began to see people experience Father's love. And many, many people were impacted by their experience of Father's love through Jack's ministry. And because of Jack's relationship with Lauren Cunningham, YWAM, the Youth with a Mission organisation, they opened the doors to Jack Winter to teach in their discipleship training schools and later opened the door to James Jordan to do the same. And even today, we still have that week in the Youth with a Mission discipleship training schools on the Father Heart of God. And that began with Jack Winter. But others were impacted, people like Floyd McClung, who then wrote the book The Father Heart of God, I think around 79, 80, something like that. Jack Frost, obviously. Barry on here was powerfully impacted by Barry, by Jack. James Jordan was, of course, and travelled with Jack. And through these people, it came to people like myself and Mark and others of us in this ministry. And what happened was that all of these people ministered on different occasions, on numerous occasions, at Toronto Fellowship. And that gave a platform for what happened as it began to spread around the church. But this Father Heart Ministries and those of us here in the webcast were not the only people that Father was giving this revelation to. We have Ed Piorek, who was part of Vineyard and still is, I think. And Gordon Dalby, who is in Florida. I think maybe John Wimber knew something of this. And each of us have our own understanding of this revelation as Father has given it to our hearts. We have our own aspect that we focus on. And for those of us in Father Heart Ministries, our emphasis would be on sonship. We see sonship as the goal. Oh, I don't know why that's in there. Sorry. We see sonship as the goal. We see this is central to the revelation for us because we believe that is how Jesus lived his life as a son. He did all of his miracles out of being a son, not out of being anointed. And so we believe that this is the central core for us. So as we're sharing in the webcast, as we share in seminars and conferences and day schools, this is what we're always trying to point people towards. That becoming like Jesus is becoming a son. But what we're experiencing today in this revelation goes far beyond what Jack discovered in the 1970s. We're so grateful for what Jack did and what he brought to us and the legacy he has left us, but it didn't originate with Jack. This revelation is what the Lord is doing in all of the earth. Not just in the church, but in the human race at this time. He is revealing himself as a father. We see it in the TV programs, in movies, in politics even. We see fatherhood becoming a major focus, the relationship between fathers and children having a major focus in research and politics and subplots and major plots of movies and TV programs. You see, because Father has taken the initiative in this. And he's been speaking to many, many people throughout the years. It's just that Jack was one who ran with it as his major focus in life. He made it his life message and life ministry to reveal as much as he was able to of the Father. But it's Father who's been shown himself on the earth. And what we're experiencing, what we are going through in this revelation, what we're discovering is really the progression of all that he's been doing throughout history. You see, Scripture is really about Father wanting to bring us home. And the whole story of Scripture is the journey and the process of him reaching out to his children to bring them home, bringing us back to our roots, to the way things were in the Garden of Eden. If you want to know what the life of a Christian should look like, look at the Garden of Eden, where everything came from Father. fellowship, intimacy, care, security, provision, authority, all came from him. And he wants to take us back to that place. Now, I had an experience of God as a father in 2005. And I began to share that when in the places I went to in Scotland. But some people thought what I was sharing was error. Because I was saying we were made to have a relationship with God the Father. See, for most people, Jesus is the only one we need. He's the one we have relationship with. And so it's Jesus only. But as we look at the life of Jesus, he was always pointing us to his Father. You know, in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus comes out of the desert and begins inviting people to follow him. Some do. And what we see over the next couple of chapters, in chapter 5 and chapter 6, he begins to teach his followers. And what he's teaching them about is his Father and his Father's kingdom. You see, Jesus always pointed to his Father. His mission was not to highlight himself, but to point people to his Father. He speaks of himself as only the gate, or the way, the doorway. And he says to his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Derek Prince says that when he read that scripture and began to experience God as his Father, he realized that this scripture spoke of a journey and a destination, and that Father is the destination, but so much of the church has got stuck on the journey with our major focus on Jesus. You see, the cross was not an expression of the love of Jesus, although Jesus does love us. The cross was a major expression of the love of the Father. Because God so loved the world, he sent his Son. The Father so loved the world, he sent his Son. And what I'm learning in Scripture is that there is nothing in Scripture that isn't an expression of the Father's love. You know, even the difficult bits of Scripture you can't understand, it's only because we don't have the proper perspective. But when he explains it to us and allows the eyes of our hearts to see and understand, then it's not a problem any longer. And so, in this journey, I'm learning to be patient with the things I don't understand. Because I realise if I'm not understanding them, then it's because I'm not ready to handle that. And so I just wait and I'm patient for him to give me that understanding. It says, love changes my heart. Now, during the 1980s, Jack Winter ministered in a little church in just a new church plant in Ontario, a little town called Cambridge. And he was doing conferences there over a number of years. And the pastor and his wife began to get a grip of this revelation of the healing love of the Father. And such was the impact of this that they decided they would take a whole year doing nothing until noon each day except to learn to fellowship with God as a Father. Now, for most of us as believers, we have learned to relate to Jesus as our Lord. He's our Saviour. He's the Bridegroom. He's the Healer. He's the coming King. We focus on being citizens of the new kingdom with relating to the King Jesus. And many believers just want to be servants of the Lord Jesus. To hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. But he'd said towards the end of his life, in John chapter 15, verse 15, I no longer call you servants. And he was preparing them for something greater, bringing them into a deeper place where we become brothers of Jesus. You know, we read that in Hebrews, where he says, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. And he says this because we have the same Father. Jesus' Father is my Father. The Father of Jesus is also your Father. And that's why Jesus calls us brothers. Because we are of the same family. That's what the writer to Hebrews says. The one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. And what this couple realized was that they knew how to follow Jesus, how to do the stuff and be good servants of the king, but not how to relate to God as a father. And so they spent the year doing that. Now, that couple was John and Carol Arnott. And we know what happened in 1994. A huge move of God took place that I think is still having influence in the world today. It may have changed, but it's still having an influence today. And what happened was when John and Carol spent that year focusing on Father, it laid a foundation for something. So that when that outpouring came, and that the British press labelled it as the Toronto Blessing, John and Carol Arnott always insisted on calling it the Father's Blessing. They realised this was an outpouring, an invitation from the Father to come into a deeper and greater intimacy, not just with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, but with Him as a Father to us. And people have become hungry for this revelation. We see it beginning to flow into the church in various ways. I think sometimes the language goes ahead of the experience, but that's all right. But I talked about the process through history, and I want to look a little bit about how this fits into to what God has been doing in history. There's a little town in Germany called Herrnhut. It means the Lord's hat. I don't know why it's called that. But the people who settled in that and created that community were a group of Moravians who were living in community in Czechoslovakia under the influence of a man called Jan Hus. But they undercame such great persecution that they decided to relocate the community, and they moved north into Germany. And they met a man called Count Zinzendorf, who gave them some land near the city of Dresden. And until they built that community and the church there in Herrnhut, they would go into a town called Bertelsdorf, which was about 2 kilometres away. And on the 13th of August, 1727, the Holy Spirit fell in the Sunday school on a group of little girls that quickly spread throughout the whole community. And it became known as the Moravian Revival. And it came at a time when the church had begun to understand the revelation of salvation, begin to see the Word of God with new understanding. But what happened when this outpouring took place in this community, it began to go to the whole world. The Moravians began a prayer meeting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There was always someone or a group of people praying. And the purpose of it was to keep this outpouring pure, that the Holy Spirit would continue to do what He was doing. And this prayer meeting ran for more than 100 years. And out of that prayer meeting came missionaries. People would get visions of countries and they would just go all over the world. You know, the Moravians were the cause of the Great Awakening in the 18th century. They came to the UK, they came to the USA. And what happened was that the outpouring of the Moravians released a revelation to the whole worldwide church. Not just the reformists in Europe, but the worldwide church began to discover who Jesus really is and what His work on the cross accomplished for each of us. And for more than a century, every ministry that was known carried the same message, that Jesus Christ is Lord and Saviour. And by personal faith in Him, you can be saved and know Him. And individuals came into a whole new experience of what it meant to be a Christian, of what the Christian life could be like. The church began to have a new understanding. And we see people like Charles Wesley and Charles Finney and George Whitfield arising here and in the USA and people in other parts of the world. And this was the message that was heard right up into the early 1900s, late 1800s, early 1900s. And around that time, the turn of the 20th century, there was another massive outpouring of the Spirit of God. Well, we began to see an interest in Pentecostal things amongst some people. Edward Irving in Scotland and was one of those who began to take an interest in tongues, and tongues were being spoken in some of his meetings. And there was an outpouring in Wales under a young man, I think he was 23, 24 years old, called Evan Roberts. It only lasted about a year or so. And people from all over the world came to Wales. And they couldn't fly there at that time, so they were coming in ships and boats. And they came to see what God was doing. And God was, strange things were happening then too. You know, what happened in Toronto and other places is no new phenomena. Strange things were happening in Wales too. But following that, there was an outpouring in Azusa Street. We've just seen on the internet and the celebrations and remembering what happened in Azusa Street. In California, just a little church, an outpouring that changed the whole face of Christianity. Holy Spirit was poured out and a new revelation was given to the church. Now, you know, when I say a new revelation, there's no such thing as an entirely new revelation. What is happening is that old revelation was being rediscovered. So, the Reformation and the Moravians had just rediscovered the truth that the early church knew. That Jesus is salvation. And in this Pentecostal outpouring, they were just discovering the truth of the Holy Spirit that the early church knew, but we had forgotten about. And so the church was rediscovering major pillars of doctrine, major pillars of faith. Jesus is the way. He is salvation. The Holy Spirit is for believers today, not just in the past. And this Pentecostal revival spread throughout the whole world. All through the 1900s, into the charismatic movement in the 60s and 70s. And it's an outpouring that changed the whole face of Christianity, changed the Christian experience and the level of expectation within the church. This outpouring took the church to a whole new level of life and experience, bringing us into a greater understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. You know, he's always been with us, but we seem to have relegated him to a minor part. And right through the 20th century, we saw a restoration of truth about who the Holy Spirit is, his involvement in our lives, his partnership with us in the work and kingdom of God. And towards the end of the 1900s, there's been another outpouring through the Holy Spirit. This time, what he's been revealing is the truth about who the Father is. That there's a whole revelation, a whole new revelation of Father. And it's taking the church into new realms and new understandings of what it means to be a Christian. Understanding of what Christianity truly is. You see, the scripture is all about a father who's lost his children and loves them so much that he sent his son, who calls us brothers, to bring us back home. That's why Jesus came. It wasn't to escape hell, although that's a byproduct and a side benefit of his mission. His mission was to reveal the Father so that we would want to come home to his embrace. That's why Jesus came. The cross is an expression of the love of God the Father, sent his Son to represent him and reveal him to his lost children. And say, this is who you've become estranged from. And he welcomes you home. And what he's doing is opening our eyes to really know him as Father, to experience his love and to walk with him so that we can know him being a Father to us. You know, I knew about God the Father. I knew the doctrine, I knew the theology, I knew the teaching, but I had not experienced him being a Father to me until 2005. I'd been a Christian for 20 years at that point. And you know, before the Moravian outpouring, people would say, of course Jesus is our Saviour. That's the church taught that. It's part of doctrine and preaching. But it's one thing to say it's true and a different thing to experience the reality of salvation. The Holy Spirit has been part of the church creeds and the teachings since the second century. Before the Pentecostal outpouring of the 1900s, everyone understood there was a Holy Spirit. But he was mysterious, he was unknown and spoken of in the abstract. But what was in the books concerning salvation, what was in the books concerning the Holy Spirit, became a part of our everyday life and experience. We can live in the reality of salvation. We can live in the reality of partnership with the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And before this revelation, this outpouring of the Father's love, we all knew the doctrine, the theology. We prayed the prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We all knew there was a Father in the Godhead. But it's another thing completely to have that knowledge blown out of the water when the windows of heaven are opened and the love of God is poured into your heart and you meet him as a Father. You meet him as my Father. Not as the Father, but as my Father. And experience him becoming a Father to you, doing the things that a Father does for his children. You know, when Evan Roberts would pray during that Welsh revival, he would have a great big smile on his face. And people thought this was irreverent to smile like this in church, that joy in the house of the Lord was unacceptable. It was offensive to God and it was offensive to them. And so, you know, we may find that people are offended by the simplicity of this revelation, as I was in the beginning. But people being offended by what the Lord is restoring to the human race, not just to the church, but to the human race. People being offended by it is nothing new. It happens every time the Lord gives us back something we've lost. But those who are offended are often the wise and learned. Those who think we know. You know, I was one of those. I thought I knew. Because I had been to college. I was a pastor. I was a leader. But what I've come to understand that in this simplicity of this revelation, we're caught up in a wonderful move of God as he reveals himself to be our Father. You know, if all we have is a revelation of Jesus as Lord and a revelation of Holy Spirit with gifts and ministries, then I think we've seen the fruit of that throughout the 20th century. Abuse of power, abuse of ministry. Because there is an imbalance. We've seen things over the last 20, 30, 40 years that have brought disrepute to the church. Because people have gotten caught up in financial issues, relationship issues, what at times seems like just power-crazed ministry. And it's so out of balance with the love of God. It's so out of balance with love and grace. But when we come to know God as our Father, we come to know what it is to live in love and grace and live out of love and grace. And to know that love, I believe it's necessary for us to come as little children in our hearts. That's what Jesus said. Unless you become as a little child, you will no way see the kingdom of heaven. And I believe those who are able to do that, to come and admit in their own hearts, I'm just a little boy, I'm just a little girl who needs to be loved, then as the love of God begins to fill our hearts, as Father begins to love us and embrace us, as we begin to change from the inside out, I believe that things like ambition and drivenness and competitiveness, power craziness, it will just get broken off of our lives. We won't have to fast and pray for it to happen. Because love will change us. Love is not in a hurry to do that though. And what happens is as that begins to be broken off of our lives, then I'm truly convinced we will see maturity of Christian life and ministry that is not available without a revelation of the love of the Father. Without being enabled by his love to walk as sons and daughters. Not just to label ourselves as sons and daughters, but to walk in that spirit of sonship. You know, because we can know that God is Father. We can compile the facts, the biblical evidence. You know, I see it in many places at the moment where people are grabbing hold of song words, you know, I'm no longer a slave, I'm a child of God, and start to declare this without actually experiencing it in their hearts. You see, this revelation is not about getting a new understanding. It's not about getting new insight. It's not about new teaching, even. You know, the purpose of our teaching is not to bring you new teaching, but to enable your heart to open to this revelation, because this revelation is something that goes directly into our hearts, not our minds, not our understanding. The understanding comes out of our heart's experience. And we can have all the facts and all the biblical evidence, and we can use the language and talk about being sons and daughters, but it's the different thing to actually come to Him and have Him be a father to you. To know Him in your spirit, in your heart, embracing you and calling you by name. You know, so many of us haven't known our earthly fathers, our biological parents being fathers to us. I didn't. You know, my dad was just a man in the house who was unable to help or do anything because of his disability. Many of us had well-motivated and hard-working and good providers as parents, but found it hard to be a father to their children. And what Father wants to do is come to us and do those things our biological parents were not able to do in our hearts. You know, all of the things our parents do for us have impacts upon our hearts. And what Father wants to do in this revelation is impact your heart. He wants to be a father to us. He said, "I will be a father to you. You will be my sons and daughters," says the Lord Almighty. So coming out of the world and into salvation is not just about escaping hell. It's about coming into a new relationship as a child. We come in as children in our hearts and we stay that way. He doesn't say, "I will be your father." He says, "I will be a father to you. I will do for you the things your father was not able to do for you." And it will change your heart. It will impact your heart and your spirit. And you will become a different person as I love you. We may have been had good dads and have given us love and stability to some degree, but there is no one who has ever loved you or could ever love you like God, your real father. There's no father in the world that can love you as much as He can, to the depth and degree that He can. See, He wants to come to us to be a father to us, up close and personal. Not just Heavenly Father in the sky, but up close and personal. And we're at this point in the history of the church and of the human race, because He has been spending all of the centuries bringing us to this place, that our hearts and our systems would be prepared to receive this revelation. That we would know God as Father, as Son, and as Holy Spirit. So many of us have been looking for this love our whole lives. And we've been frustrated. We've been disappointed by religion. We've been wounded by people. And the love of God has only ever been a theory in a book. We've heard it preached about, we've heard it talked about, we've read about it, but it seems as though it does not touch our lives. What He wants you to do is not to learn about the Father's love, but to receive it, to open your heart as best as you know how. Despite fear, despite pain, despite all the things that might be wrong with you, He doesn't care that you're broken. He knows you're broken. That's why He spent the whole of history bringing us to this place, to this point. And He wants to pour His love. He is pouring His love into you right now. But so many of us are not aware that it's happening. And so we keep protecting our hearts and covering our hearts up. But He is safe. And He loves you. The truth is, He just wants to pour His love into your heart. The question is, can you become like a little boy, like a little girl who just needs to be loved? If you can say yes to that, that's the beginning of opening your heart, I believe. And it's the beginning of His love pouring into your heart. And I keep having to return to that place and remind myself, I'm just a little boy who needs to be loved. No matter how much I grow in this revelation, no matter how deep His love goes, there is always a part of me that is still just a little boy who needs to be loved. And I need to keep reminding myself to come back to that place. That my heart might open up again and keep open. And I can say, Father, I need your love. Thank you that you're loving me right now. And so that's where we are in history. And if you look through, you can see the periods where Father is restoring to us things that we didn't know before. But he doesn't want us to just write books about it or have information about it. He wants to bring us into the experience of knowing him as Father, of knowing Jesus as salvation, as knowing and knowing Holy Spirit as our partner and our tutor. So I think I'm going to stop there. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you that you are loving each one of us right now. Father, I thank you for your presence, your encompassing arms around me here in this place. And I thank you, Father, that my brothers and sisters in the various countries around the world are having the same experience, that your arms are enveloping them right now. As each one of us just realize and confess in our hearts, Father, I'm just a little boy. I'm just a little girl who needs to be loved. Thank you that you're here to love me. Father, as you put your arms around us, I pray a deeper revelation of love, of who we are in your embrace and who you are as you embrace us, would penetrate the very depths of our hearts. Father, we have never known a Father like you. And it is stunning to understand that you have always loved me. You've always loved us. Father, when I was the worst sinner I could be, you loved me. In fact, you were pouring your love to me. I just didn't want to live in it. So thank you, Father, you're loving each one of us right now. That you just come to us as we are. You know, there's that old hymn, Father, just as I am without one plea. And so, Father, just as we are, we open our hearts to you. With all the mess that's there, all the pain that's there, the brokenness that's there, the sin that's there, even. And we do so with confidence, Father. Because we know that we can come boldly and confidently to the throne of grace. And we receive help, we receive love in our time of need. And Father, there's not a moment goes by that I don't need your love pouring into my heart. So thank you for that right now, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Amen.